You know, on certain Sundays, the liturgy just barrages us with so many different images that you hardly know which one to choose. So I'm going to choose them all. You know, if you throw mud against the wall and you just keep throwing it and throwing it, most of it will slide down to the floor, but some of it will stick. And I think that one of the things the liturgy does to us is it presents a whole bunch of themes, a whole bunch of ideas, with the hope that some of it will stick. Okay, first theme from the opening prayer today: may we run to meet your Christ. It isn't a matter of just waiting for him to come. We run to meet him. So there's a kind of a responsibility on our part, not only to wait patiently for the coming of God's kingdom, but to run toward it, to reach out and embrace it. Yes, God does everything for us. God is the one who is the first actor, and we simply respond. But the response should be enthusiastic enough to be described as running toward it. And the first reading from Isaiah suggests, let us go up to God's mountain. Yes, God establishes the mountain that's higher than all the rest. God establishes the peace that he wants, but we need to work for that peace too. We need to put down our arms, our weapons, sometimes our ideas and our resentments and, you know, all of the things that would divide us, because you see, as we've said here so often, in the Trinity, there is no self-concern. And one of the reasons we're always going to have war on this side of the kingdom is because every nation has its own self-concerns that it can't see around to see the point of view of the other. But it's not only on a national level, it's also on a personal level. My ideas, my opinions, my fears, my resentments, they're more powerful than yours and they're more important than yours, so you just have to wait while I have mine, you know. But in the Trinity, no such sentiment exists. They're always laying down their lives for the other two and receiving back that same complete self-offering from the other two, and that is divine love. And that is who we are. That's our destiny. That's what we are called to be. We are called to be divinized, to be transformed from merely human into human/divine, just like Christ our Savior was and is. Another theme is in Paul's letter, the second reading. He makes a distinction between two different kinds of darkness. There's the darkness at midnight, that is drunkenness and carousing. Years ago, my first pastor over in Junction City used to say, lad, nothing good happens after midnight. Mm-hmm. And the bars in Junction, you know, they don't close until 2. Mm-hmm. When I first moved to Salina, I thought, what a sleepy, boring town this is, because Junction was so alive. And I was young back in those days, and I was up. There's another kind of night, another kind of darkness that's just before the dawn. And there's a wonderful image that Paul is getting at there. The birds greet the dawn before the first light. It's still completely dark when they start singing, but they are announcing the dawn. They are greeting it from afar. And that's who we are as Christians. We can't see the kingdom yet, but we have enough of it already that we can greet it from a distance. And that should be our waiting. That should be the way we live our Christian lives, in that longing and that expectation and that absolute trust and hope. Just like the birds have, they are so certain that the dawn will come, they don't have to wait for the first light to announce it. We are so certain, we live our lives in such powerful hope of the coming of God's kingdom, that we can begin to live it even now. And maybe the rest of the world isn't going to go along with us, but we can be transformed anyway. And the gospel has that warning that comes at the end of the liturgical year and the beginning of the new year. We've talked about that for the last several weeks, that expectation of the end that is a bit of a foreboding and a warning. Be alert, be watchful, because you don't know the day or the hour. Now, there are two kinds of waiting. One kind of waiting is when you're expecting family for Thanksgiving dinner. And so you're preparing, but every time you hear a car door slam, you run to the window thinking it's them, and it's not. So you can't get anything done because every time you hear a strange noise, you just think it's them. That's one kind of waiting. There's another kind of waiting when you're really comfortable with friends or family and you say, you don't need to announce yourself, just come whenever you can, we'll drop everything and have a good time. And that's an easier kind of waiting. You're not hearing any car doors, you're not hearing any strange noises. It's just, if they come, fine. But that doesn't mean that you live your life in drunkenness and carousing all that time. It doesn't mean that you let down the armor of light, that you live in darkness. No, because you wouldn't want them to come unexpectedly and find you doing something shameful. You wouldn't want them to suddenly arrive and find you doing something that's incongruous with your relationship with them. Well, that's the kind of waiting and expectation that we are doing with the coming of the Lord. We're already announcing the dawn. We are already living in the light. We have put on the armor of light. We have put on Christ. Christ dwells in our hearts, and so therefore we're not worried about when he comes again because we know that he will find us ready. We may not be as saintly as we wish we could be, but we also know that we're not in darkness. We know that we are already living in the light. Advent in some ways is characteristic of the whole church year, of the whole Christian life, in the sense that it is about hope and it's about the coming of Christ. And Advent celebrates three comings of Christ. It's the remembrance of his first coming already, and it's the expectation and longing for his coming again. But just as important as those two, it's the everyday coming of Christ into my life now. Christ comes here this morning. He's here with us in the gathered assembly. He's here in his word. He's here in the ministers. He's here at the altar. Today is the day. Are we talking about the first coming of Christ? Are we talking about the second coming of Christ? Are we talking about today? Yes, we're talking about all of those. God is always coming, and so I always need to be living in the armor of light. I always need to be prepared, expectant, watchful, and living the life of Christ.